We're in the middle of Yerodea, Siman Reish Ayin Dalet, Hilchos Sefer Torah. So yesterday we did Sif Hey. And the Ramah tells us that you write a letter. The letter has a thickness there that is not necessary and could possibly be damaging because it could smudge or whatever. And you want to take some of that ink and use it for something else. So if you're taking it to write another letter, he said that's fine. Let's say you're taking it because you want it to dry. So that was we saw machlokes. Now there is a sefer written by a neighbor who lives on Rehov Kanievsky, wrote an encyclopedic work on Hilchos Sefer Torah called the Ata Kisvu. That's his book. Yeah. So he writes like this. If you are taking the ink from letter one to write letter two, right, you have extra ink on letter one that's not needed, you want to take it for letter two, that's okay, as long as in doing so you don't ruin letter one, and you also don't detract from the blackness of the letter. Okay. He says, let's say you want to just take off some ink so that it'll dry more quickly. So the Ramah says that that's okay. And then he brings in over here that, not like the Taz, he says you can dispose of that ink, you don't have to worry about it. Because the whole point is that you're doing it for Kavanat Torah. Then he brings in an opinion that you're actually not, so he first says you're allowed to do it, like the Taz, not like the Taz. You can take the ink just to enable the Sefer Torah to dry more quickly. Then he says, some say that it is in fact usser if you're going to, ruin the ink or destroy the ink or do something with it. It's a non-holy purpose. Because it's already been sanctified by Kedusha Stam. So he says, if you could use it to write another letter, that's okay. Let's say you just need to take it off to help it dry. You can put it in the kumus, whatever, the feather, whatever that thing is called that you're using to write, and let it dry there. So you're not actually doing anything actively with it. You're just letting it dry.
What do you want to dry the letter?
I want to take some of the ink away because too much ink there, it's going to take forever for the right, for the
so
letter
you put
to dry.
The ink back on the kumus.
I put it back on the kumus. I could use it to write another letter. That's fine. And if I don't have another letter to write, I could just let it dry in the kumus.
Oh.
That's the other option he brings in.
You can't put it back into the jar?
That's a good question. Well, I guess if you're using the jar to write more Sefer Torah, then I guess that would be okay.
It doesn't really go down.
And if you're dealing with a Shem Hashem, so we also saw a discussion about this yesterday, the Shach seemed to think it was okay, and okay. He brings down that it's not okay to take from Hashem Hashem unless you're mamish afraid it's going to smudge. Because then, if you're afraid it's going to smudge, then you're doing the Torah Hashem Hashem. Okay, now it's interesting, in the bottom, in the footnotes, he quotes a Bir Halacha from Mishnah Berurah Siman Mem Beis. He quotes the Bir Halacha. Now here the Bir Halacha talks about a topic. The Ramah talks about a topic. So in general we have a machlokes and we have a rule. We have a machlokes of Bayi Rav and the Gemara hasmana la milsi. If I set something aside for a holy purpose, but I don't actually use it yet for that purpose, the hasmana, the fact that I prepared it to use for a holy purpose, does not count. Doesn't make it holy yet, I can still use it for a mundane purpose. However, the Ramah gives an exception to that rule. And he says that Hazmana Lugufa Kedusha. Hazmana ki hagama Lugufa Kedusha Milsehi. If the Hazmana is for something that is inherently holy, not that it's being used to store something holy. Something inherently holy, and the example here the Ramah is talking about is Kalaf. That was cured, tanned, the shame tefillin, even though you didn't actually start writing the tefillin on the klaf yet, you can't decide that you're going to use it for some mundane purpose. That kind of azmana for gufa kedusha is milsehi. So in the Bir Halacha here, he says Ramban disagrees with this rule. Okay, but we paskin like the Ran, who does have the rule. Rama paskins that if the hazmana is for something that is inherently kodesh, then that hazmana, that preparation, does have kedusha, and you can't use it for a mundane purpose. And here he talks about, so it's interesting, because when you just read what is written in the footnote of the Sefer V'Yatzei Kisvei, it sounds like the two things are comparable. They're not exactly comparable, although this is much more intense what the Bir Halacha is saying, because the Bir Halacha is saying when you make ink for the purpose of writing stam, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, that's considered as one of the Gufa Kedusha. That's much more intense. What do we say by us? When you already wrote the letter, you have excess ink, so you can't use that excess ink for a mundane purpose. Here, the Bishop Ruiz, the Bir Halacha, is saying something much more intense. Even you made a jar of oil, a jar of ink, sorry. You made a well of ink, ink well, right? So that is creative, that's considered inherent Kedusha. Hazmana legufa Kedusha, to become something inherently holy. But if also the if you don't make a tenai, a condition at the beginning, that would, I guess, only that which ends up actually being part of the Sefer Torah or the Tefillin or the Mezuzah is holy, and everything in excess of that is not holy, everything becomes holy, and you can't even take ink from the inkwell to write a letter to your uncle. So that's what's going on over here. When you read over here, just that, so it's even more intense. So that's what he says, that you should make it tonight. When you make the ink, you should make a condition that the holiness is only on the ink that is actually going to end up on your Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah, or that's only necessary for your Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah. And that way, only the ink that's needed for the Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah is going to have Kedusha, and everything else you could use it for a mundane purpose. And then that will solve the problem discussed by the Bir Halacha, that all the ink is holy. No, not all the ink is holy. Now you made a condition. The only part of the ink is holy is the ink that ends up holy on the cloth. That's needed. And then the excess ink, after you've written the letter, which is what we're discussing over here in your day and Sin Reish Ayin Dalet, that also, since you made a condition, the condition is going to also exclude the excess ink. Then you can, in fact, use the excess ink for other things. Okay. Good. So that is just to touch up what we did yesterday. Let's continue. We are in Yardei Reish Ayin Dalet. We're up to a Sif Hei. Sarech Lizer B'tikun Ha'osios. You have to be careful when you write the letters. Ubeziyunan, the tagin, the crowns that are on top of the letters. Kamosh Nisbah Ba'orach Bilchas Tfilin Siman Lamed Beis V'Simen Lamed Vav. Okay, so there is actually a discussion. The tagin, the crowns that are on top of the letters. So which letters have these tagin? The letters are Shatniz Gatz. Shin Ayin Tet Nun Zayin Gimel Tzadi Sofit. Those are the letters that get tagin. Are the tagin three vertical lines that make a crown on top of the letter? Or do the one on the right tilt to the right, the one on the left tilt to the left, and the one in the middle goes straight up? That is a machlokes and discussion amongst the poskim. Now, what if he didn't do the tagin? How important are these tagin? So, look at the taz over here. The taz brings down, it's if katan hey, but tur kasav da rambam lo pasal mchiser et azayunin. If you didn't do these tagin, these crowns, on these letters, then it's not going to make it possible. Va'rosh posel, and the rosh pasels came to the Gemara because the Gemara says, I'm a Rava, shatnis gatz zainin. You have to put these zainin, these crowns, on top of the letter shin ayin tet nun zain gimel tzari sufit. Okay, he ends up the Taz sides with the Ramban, it's not going to be posel. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Siman Lamed Vav Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch there says, tzarech l'tayeg shatnis gatz. You have to put these tagin, these crowns, on these letters. Okay. And then he says, the Sofrim, no, the Taik Osios Acheros, does the Sofrim have a custom, or a custom to putting crowns on other letters as well? And then the Shulchan Aruch concludes, Vin lo tieg afilu shatnes gatz, lo pasal b'dievet. If he didn't do it, it does not pasal the tefillin, or the Sefer Torah, or the mezuzah. Okay, and the Mishnah Berurah is not so happy. He brings down on this, even the Shulchan Aruch says it's not pasal, says the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Tezval, v'abach posal b'zeh. The Bach says it is pasal. The Gra also brings a lot that are machmir and say that the evidence is no good. Therefore, he says, it is very, very proper to be careful, and if it wasn't done properly the first time, to put these tagin on afterwards. What is the idea of these crowns on top of the these letters? So the word shatnez is the same letters as shin tet nun, satan, and ayin zayin, which stands for avodah zarah. He says those are two prosecutors against the Jewish people, God forbid, satan and avodah zarah. Vezel gam kein so, that's the secret.
That's why you're talking about.
Yeah, Gamkein, so he gots, get got Gamkein, that's another name of a different prosecutor. And these tagin that I keep calling crowns, kmo chere v'chanit li'natzim, it's like a sword to protect us from them. So it's not like crowns, it's really swords. Swords on top of this letter to protect us from the prosecution, God forbid. Okay, that's actually quoted from the Berhitiv. Quoted from others. Okay. Right. Now to Sifva. Okay. Sefer HaMinukad. If you have a Sefer Torah with dots, puzzle. It is puzzle. V'afil hisir me'meno nikud. Even if you go and you scrape off all the dots, it's still puzzle. Similarly, a sefer that separates the psukim, sefer Torah separates the psukim, is going to be puzzle. That's what I thought about originally. After spending some time on this, what I've learned is that you are not just putting a space in between the sentences, the psukim, and the sefer Torah, but you are putting some sort of ink there to represent a stop, that it's a different puzzle. I have here an Erech Lechem LeMaharikash. He says, V'dav kashasa nikudim b'dyo. You're putting dots with ink, Moshe Osa b'chumash. In a chumash, at the end of each pasuk, you have two dots. Separate one dot, two dots. Separate one pasuk from the next. So you put those dots in the Sefer Torah to indicate it's the end of a pasuk. Pasuk, says the Shulchan Aruch. So here we have two things, two halachas. One is a Sefer Torah with dots is pasuk. Even if you remove the dots, it's still puzzle. We have to see why. The Sefer Torah that has dots or some other marks of ink to signify the end of a pasuk is also a puzzle. However, the Taz is going to tell us that if you remove those dots that represent the end of the pasuk, if you remove it, then the Sefer Torah is going to be kosher. You can kasher that Sefer Torah. But the dots that are written in the Nekudot, how to read it, the dots that separate psukim, if you remove them, it's going to be good. The dots that are there for Nekudot, how to read it, the words are not good. Why? Says the Taz, Sekot Vav, Sefer Menuka Pasov, Atam Dekai Milan, Sheyesh Ein Lamasoros. Now, the Gemara talks about Yesh Ein Lamikra, how you read the Pasov, Yesh Ein Lamasoros. There is a significance to how we read the words in the Chumash, obviously. There's also significance to how it's written, even though it's not read that way. Once you put in the dots, you've destroyed how it's written. You only have now how it's read. Oh, so, okay, great. But what happens if I remove the dots? Why is that still a problem? So the Taz continues towards the end of the Taz, because it shows that the Sofer has no regard for the tradition and how the letters are actually written. And therefore he's writing it in a way of only to be read and not written as it's written. And therefore, Mizuyov mitocho puzzle lagamre. It's totally puzzle, and you can't compare that to making mistakes where you can just correct the mistake. Here, the whole intentions of the Sofer is off. He's off. His kavanas are off. His hashkafas are off. And his Sefer Torah is off. It's puzzle. It can't be fixed. However, when you put in dots just to show where the pasuk ends, so that also puzzle, but it can be fixed. Why? Next task, it's got no Zayin. Hatam, the Toshiyek Moshe Lono Moshe Misina. It has to be as given in Sinai. In Har Sinai, there were no dots in the Sefer Torah separating one pasuk from the next. However, here he says, since we're talking about putting in ink marks to represent, to signify the end, the beginning of each pasuk, you could scratch him off. He brings that from the Ramban. Nira Dimayabo Pisuk Shish. You can scratch it off, it'll be okay. And it's better than the case where you have dots telling you how to read the words, because that is a whole different, not the whole philosophy behind it, which the Taz just explained to us in Sifkat Tavah. Hagot notes as Ramah. Vidav Yoshas Hezek Bidyo. Okay, so this is what took me a while to figure out. He's talking about when you're indicating separate psukim by putting in an ink mark. That's where it's going to be a problem. Unless you remove it, then it's not a problem. But if you just put a little space between the psukim, as long as it's not a sheer parsha, which we're going to learn much more in the Siman Reish Ayin Hey, it's going to be kosher. Now here, the Shach says, U'mashma, d'lechatchila ein manich avir harbe. Sounds like you shouldn't leave too much space. Aval says the Shach, ma'at tzarech laniach. You have to leave a little bit of space between psukim. Bein pasuk l'pasuk. U'kubon shiz bar b'orachayim siv lama beis siv lama beis v'ad God. Like the Rambam says, in orachayim lama beis lama beis. Okay, let's go to lama beis lama beis. Lama beis lama beis, says the Rambam. Tzarech laniach ma'at chalak bein pasuk l'pasuk. You have to leave a space between, a little bit of space between each pasuk and the tefillin, says the Ramah. You're making funny faces at me. Why are you making funny faces? Because that's not what our Sefer Torah looks like. Why not? So the Mishabura over here in Sivkot, the Kuf Me'avav says, no! Aval Magen Avraham, Mishen Kama Achronim, the Magen Avraham, in the name of a number of Achronim, Vagrav, if you will, and the Tilda Gong, Hechron de Ei, Tarech Laniach Halak Yosem, Mibain, Tevel, 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 you don't put, here it says, in tzarech. You don't need to do it. Others have a little stronger to it. We don't put a space between psukim at all. And in the bracket, says the Mishibura, Udlo kumos shekosu ashach. B'yardeh reish ayin dalas if got involved. The Mishibura said, we don't pass like this shach. We don't pass like the shach. We don't put space. Here it says, you don't need to put space. And in other places, it says, strong lashon. Don't put space. Okay, now if you look back at the Taz, Sivkot and Zion, like in the Sefer Torah, there's certain places where there are dots on top of the words. Here he gives an example. Remember that? Ayei Sar Ishtecha. When they ask Abram, where's your wife? On top of the word Elav is a bunch of dots. Let's say you didn't put in those dots, or my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, Mitzvah Parsha, and so on. Hanisaros, Hashem Elokeinu, there's dots. What if those dots are not there? Says the Taz, it does not possible. Why? Because it's written as it was given in Har Sinai. And Sinai, there were no dots, even the little dots on top of specific letters or specific words. Where did those dots come from, says the Taz, based on Tosus in a couple of places. Hanikudot Shomu Chachomim Mitakonos Ezra. Kemoshu Tosus in Zvachim, and Pisik Tosus in Menachos. Those dots on top of specific words, Hanistoros, Elav, that comes from Ezra. But Moshe Rabbeinu did not have such dots, and therefore he didn't put the dots in. Those dots on top of specific letters that appear in Sefer Torah, if you didn't put it in, but you have to put it in. Also, Rabbi Kiva Eger over here points out, in Sifkat and Dalet, because we said that when you put Mikudot into a Sefer Torah, it shows a whole different hashkafa. The person is really denying that there's significance to the way the words in the Sefer Torah are written, and he's only going with the way it's read. And that is a false philosophy of how to understand the greatness and the depth of the Sefer Torah. Based on that, that's what the Taz told us. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, let's say a sofer wrote the Sefer Torah kosher v'yosher. He wrote it properly. And now someone comes later and puts in dots. So the dots are a problem. But now if you remove the dots, the Sefer Torah is okay. But if the original sofer put in the dots, that shows that he's writing the whole thing in an improper fashion, then it won't help to take out the dots. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger's point. Last line here in the Ramah. This also took me time to figure out. Sefer Torah she'ira bo ha'osios will be get. A Sefer Torah that has letters mixed up, like a get. Ain't a psula. It's not puzzle. Aval lechatzil ain't lasos kach. You shouldn't do it. But it's not puzzle. What does it mean, mixed up? So, what he's referring to is what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Lamed Beis Chav Ches, Hilchos Tefillin. Okay? And that is, that's the same Lamed Beis Chav we just did. No, I take it back. Sorry. We just did Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis Chav Ches. So like this. Yesh, Lizar, be careful. Shalom, Yikonis, Rosh HaLamed, Ba'avir, hey. Some of the letters go up. The Lamed has a long neck. So the Lamed goes up, and on top of the Lamed is a hey. Let's say the Lamed goes into the hey. Oh, very good. So that's also discussed. Oh, hachet. Let's say the lamed goes into the hay or the chet. Even without, if it touches, for sure, it's possible. But if it doesn't touch, so he says, Mash miloshen the Shulchan Aruch is yesh li zoher davka lechatchila. Lechatchila, you should be careful. But with the evidence, it's okay. But if it goes all the way in or makes it look like a different letter, that's going to be a problem already. Right. If it looks like a different letter, then it becomes a problem. But that's what the Ramah is saying over here. Nechatzil ein lasos kein, and that's how the Mishnah Berurah explains the Shulchan Aruch over here. Lame beis sif chav ches. That the letters from one row to the next should not go get. That's what it means, mixed up letters. It doesn't mean mixed up, scrambled letters, obviously. But it means the letters should not go up and down into other letters. Even a little bit. But the evidence, if it's a little bit, it's okay. As long as it doesn't look like a different word. But you're running into trouble. Because, like you pointed out, you can end up looking like a different letter, then it's not much going to be possible. Okay, that is the conclusion of Yoredeh Siman Reish Ayin Dalet.